You are listening to the Sunday sermon preached at Living Sanctuary Brethren Church. May the Lord bless you as you listen to His Word.
Hi, good morning everyone. It's a great pleasure to be here speaking with all of you today. And though we are not physically together in church, I know you join me in your homes today, and I pray that God will encounter all of us as a church family this day. You know, during the period of heightened alert that we have just been through, I guess many of us spend more time at home, and inevitably we watch a bit more television. I guess many of us also would spend a bit more time on Netflix. Well, during this period of heightened alert, I actually spent some time watching a particular series on Netflix, and this series is called Formula One Drive to Survive. The show follows the behind the scenes of drivers and their lives. It shows you their training routines. It shows you how the teams prepare for race day, how they prepare for the season ahead, all the tweaks that they got to do for the cars. It shows you how they prep themselves and get ready for the actual race that is going to take place. So each episode, they follow different teams and different drivers, and you get to see how they prepare for it and how they perform on race day as well. It's an amazing series. It's very exciting indeed. But one of the things I learned when I was watching this series is that there is a very important element of the race, and that is the pit stop. A pit stop is when a driver turns off the main racing track and he stops the car momentarily at the team's designated stop point so that he can have refueling, repairs, recalibration, changes to the tires, changes if there are components in the car that are not functioning well. And the support team wants to get the car in and out as quickly as possible. Okay, so they will do their best, practice a lot of times pre-season to be able to get the car ready, adjusted, and ready to get sent out once again to complete the race. I can tell you that not taking a proper pit stop, or if someone made a mistake during the pit stop, it is very detrimental for the team's chances of winning the race. When they make a mistake during the pit stop, the race can be lost. The opposite is equally true. Being able to take an effective pit stop is essential for the team's chances of winning a race. The pit stop is an essential element for completing the race. Let me repeat that. The pit stop is an essential element for completing the race. You know, I think that aptly describes the season that we are in. This pandemic, the circuit breaker last year, this year's just passed heightened period of heightened alert, have really put a pause on the natural rhythm of life. It's put a pause on our intended plans at our intended pace. And therefore, it seems like we are in somewhat of a pit stop in this race that we call life. It can either be seen as a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I remember there was one driver in the series who did not want to take the pit stop that was recommended by his team. So they radioed him and said, hey, it's time to come in. And he said, no, give me a while more. I think I can, you know, take this time to overtake some people. So he did not come in when he was supposed to. He continued to press on thinking that he could take advantage of not taking his pit stop. But very soon, his tires started to wear out. And when they wear out, they lose grip. And when you start losing grip, you lose speed. He lost essential speed that he needed to accelerate and overtake people. And in the end, he was overtaken again and again, and he fell further and further behind. Some of us are like this driver when we are in this season of pause, this pit stop in life, that we find that it's a waste of time this season. Can we just get it over with? Can we just move on with our lives yet again? But today, can I ask you that we do not respond negatively to this pit stop that we are in? Instead, would you use this time to make the necessary adjustments in order to finish your race well? Let me begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, happy Father's Day. Today we also remember you as our Father, and we want to take this moment to thank you for being our Father, our good Father, that we can always lean on, that we can always hope in, that we can always look to. Lord, thank you for being our Father. And this day, Lord, as we look to you in this season of pause, this pit stop in life, we ask that you illuminate areas in our lives that we need to calibrate and make adjustments to so that we'll be able to finish our race here on earth well. Help us not to waste this season that you have allowed our way. We continue to fix our eyes on you today, and we ask that you speak to each and every heart that is open to you. May we continually be transformed by your word as it takes root in our lives. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Today we are going to look at a very familiar passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. And it's a timely message in this season. And we are going to ask ourselves three questions that will help us evaluate how we are doing and if we need to make any adjustments, any changes during this pit stop in order to finish the race well. Now, let me give you some background to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is a letter that was written by Paul. And unlike other letters that Paul has written to address churches, such as the book of Corinthians to address the church in Corinth, Philippians to address Philippi, Ephesians to address the church in Ephesus, 2 Timothy was a personal letter that Paul wrote to one of his closest co-laborers in Christ, his protege, his good friend, Timothy. What makes this letter even more special, in my opinion, is that this is the last letter that we have from Paul, the last letter that we have that we know that he wrote. For in this letter, we can see that Paul himself knew that his time on earth was nearing an end. Therefore, I'm sure he would have chosen the words in these letters very carefully. His most crystallized thoughts on life and ministry that he wanted to pass on to his dear friend Timothy. You might ask, why are we looking at this letter? I mean, there are so many books in the Bible. Why are we looking at this particular letter? Well, it's because this letter was written by someone who we know has finished his race well. And in this letter, or in this segment of letter, he's telling his protege how to do the same. So let us pick up from 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 8. This is Paul's concluding statements to the entire letter. This is what Paul says. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up from themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but all those who have loved his appearing. God bless the reading of his word. Now, the first question that will help us evaluate how we are doing, and if we would need to make any changes to finish our race well, is, am I aware that I am accountable for my actions on the day of judgment? Am I aware that I am accountable for my actions on the day of judgment? Paul ends this letter in 2 Timothy, here in chapter 4, with a charge to Timothy. To charge someone was to command, instruct, or exhort with authority. It was to impose a task or responsibility onto Timothy. It was a very solemn moment in the letter where Paul was passing the baton to Timothy. It was very serious. His charge to Timothy was done before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he states it explicitly, Jesus who will judge the living and the dead. Paul was about to give instructions to Timothy in the presence of the judge of the universe, the judge who is seated on the great white throne at the end of the age. So Timothy had better pay attention to what the charge was about, because he would be accountable for his actions in fulfilling this charge. It's a very heavy way to end this letter, isn't it? But are you aware that this warning to Timothy, that he would have to be accountable to the judge of the universe for his actions, applies to you and to me as well? You know, it's laced throughout the Bible that God, the righteous judge, will judge each and every one of us on Judgment Day. And we have, for the things that we have or have not done, that we did or did not do in this life. So today, would you ask yourself, are you aware that you are accountable for your actions on Judgment Day? Most of us know this to be true, but not all of us live as though we are aware that that day is actually coming. You know, if God were to open the record of your life, maybe not from the start, just during this pandemic season, from the start of COVID-19 until today, what do you think he would say about the way that you have lived your life? Would he be pleased? Or do you think he would be disappointed? Because if we are really honest with ourselves and we really took a hard look at our lives, some, if not many of us, would be guilty of living as though there were no consequences in life, as though we would not have to account for the way that we have been living our lives. You know, I always remember this exercise that I was once taught as a youth, and we can all try it together in your own homes, okay? Can you list the top three things that are important to you? List the top three things that are important to you. I can give you a hint. Number one should be God, okay? So take a moment, think about it. What are the top three things that are important to you? Are you all done? All right. Then, can you take the moment now to think of the top three things that you spend the most time on? The top three things that you spend the most time on, besides sleep, on school or work, because those are non-negotiables, right? So what are the top three things? Do they correlate? Are they the same? You know, I remember doing this, like I said, as a youth. And of course, I put God as number one of things that is important to me. The next, I put family. And then the third, I put girlfriend. Oh wait, cannot have girlfriend. Friends. But when I thought about what I spend the most time on, God was probably not on that list at all. So how have you spent your time since the start of the pandemic? And are you aware that you would have to account for it? You know, I think many of us will be guilty of spending way too much time on our phones. Some of us spend too much time watching Formula One on Netflix. Too much time online shopping. Too much time spent trying to climb up the corporate ladder, being successful in life, too much time focused on hobbies, desires, our dreams, and maybe even too much time worrying about the future. Maybe just a little too little time spent thinking about God, too little time spent with Him, too little time spending partnering with Him, going on adventures with Him, too little time hearing what's on His heart, and then being His hands and feet in this life. Today, I hope that you would choose to be more aware that our time here is a gift that God has graciously given to us, and it's a gift that we are not to waste, that we will have to account for the time spent on this earth, each day that we have spent here on the day of judgment. So I pray that we will choose to use this gift to live for the Lord. So the first question we can ask ourselves to help us evaluate how we are doing and if we need to make changes to complete our race well is, am I aware that I am accountable for my actions on the day of judgment? The second question we can ask ourselves is, have I been faithful in doing the things that God has called me to do? Have I been faithful in doing what God has called me to do? 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 to 5 reads, "Preach the word, be ready in and out of season to convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up from themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Paul is saying a lot of things over here. So we are to become aware that we are to live our lives for a purpose and not wastefully. And here, Paul tells us what we ought to be doing. But before we go on, and as we read through this letter, we need to be reminded that this is a personal letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And Timothy had a very specific calling on his life and ministry. He was called to be an evangelist, and more specifically, to go and refute heretics that were popping up all across the churches everywhere, especially in Ephesus. So there are elements to his charge that are specific to his role as an evangelist. Not all of us are called to the exact same ministry as Timothy, but there are many things that Paul says and lists that we can all apply into our lives today. Paul tells Timothy that he needs to be ready in and out of season to preach the word, to do so boldly, be willing to convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Timothy was tasked to go to Ephesus to rebuke false teachers who were spreading wrong theology. He was supposed to go there to correct the theology of the church. And he was to do so with all long-suffering, with patience and love for the people. And let me tell you, that's infinitely difficult to do, to love and be patient with those who you know are consciously pulling people away from God and the truth. Paul then warns Timothy that people will turn away from the word of God and they will turn to false teachers, that they will turn to fables, to myths, to Gnosticism, away from the truth. You know, the early church had to deal with all sorts of heresies, false teachings that led many astray. But Timothy was to be watchful. He was to endure affliction and fulfill his ministry. We are living in strangely similar times as Timothy, aren't we? We are living in a world that is saturated with information, but full of disinformation. A world bombarded with lies and deception, scams, fake news. A world growing with conspiracy theories of people who believe that the earth is flat. A world that is increasingly valuing subjective opinion over what is objectively true. We are living in somewhat of a post-truth world. A world that has theories for everything, but is also skeptical of everything. If I could quote Pilate, "What is truth? What has truth become in our society today?" So just like Timothy, all the more we need to be ready and equipped to preach the word and to defend the gospel, to stand for what we know to be true. Not only when things are going well for us in seasons where we feel spiritually high, but in difficult seasons as well, such as this pandemic season that we are in. We must be ready to preach the word, to reach out to those that God has put in our way. Our family, extended family, our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, Grab delivery drivers, and so on. We cannot forget our mission to fulfill the Great Commission. It must be a very active part of our lives, something we embrace as a part of our day-to-day, something that we must be consciously living with. We are also to be watchful. That means we are not to be ignorant about the things that are happening all around us and in this world. There's a vast changing landscape in the things that young people believe in, and we need to be up to date with what is happening so that we can be a voice that speaks truth in this world, even though the world would more often than not reject it. And therefore, we also need to be prepared to endure affliction, to be criticized and ridiculed for the things that we believe in, to be hated for standing for what is true. Paul was always very upfront about suffering and affliction that will come the way of those that follow Jesus and choose to speak the truth. For Paul himself had to endure much for the sake of the gospel. And here he's telling Timothy, as well as you and me, that we would need to be prepared to endure the same as well. And lastly, we are to fulfill our ministry. Not all of us will be called to be evangelists, preachers, pastors, but each of us play an equally vital role in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians tells us that the eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, that I do not need you. And if you jump all the way to verse 27, because you are all the body of Christ, each one of you are a part of it. Each one of us plays our part as the body of Christ. Each one of us has a ministry entrusted to us for us to fulfill in this life. And we must live to fulfill our ministries. Will you turn to the person next to you? Or if you're alone, you know, just say out to yourself, you must live to fulfill your ministry. You must live to fulfill your ministry. So let us be ready to preach, be watchful and not ignorant, be prepared to suffer affliction, and always live to fulfill our ministry. So the second question that we can ask ourselves to help us evaluate how we are doing in this pandemic, in this time, in this pit stop is, have I been faithful in doing what God has called us to do? Have I been faithful in what God has called me to do? Have I been faithful to preach? Have I been watchful? Have I been ready, preparing myself to endure affliction if need be and not be discouraged? Have I been conscious to fulfill my ministry? And the third and last question that we can ask ourselves is, are my eyes fixed on the prize? Are my eyes fixed on the prize? You know, Paul ends the segment of his sharing with Timothy by sharing his perspective on the life he has lived. He says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who loved his appearing. And there in this letter, we get probably the most quoted verse during funerals. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Or in the original Greek sentence structure, the good fight, I have fought. The race, I have finished. The faith, I have kept. I prefer this reading because it's clear that it's not about him and his achievements, but about the fight, the race, and the faith that he cared for, these things that were entrusted to him to accomplish. What beautiful words spoken by a man who lived his life, as described, poured out as a drink offering unto the Lord. I wonder how many of us can say the same about our lives, that we have been poured out as a drink offering unto the Lord. We know that he had to endure great suffering in life. Financially, he had to work very hard. We know he worked as a tent maker to support himself and his ministry. We know physically he was tortured multiple times, beaten even to the point of death, imprisoned multiple times, and in the end, it's widely believed that he was beheaded in Rome for the gospel that he preached. emotionally. He had to endure a lot of persecution, rejection, a lot of hardship in prison, heartache of pastoring and nurturing a church, and at the end also being rejected and abandoned by many people that he loved and invested his life in. But yet through all this, Paul persevered. As he reflected upon his life to his friend Timothy, he could boldly say that he did not waver, he did not give up, and that he was faithful to the end. And now there is a prize that awaits him at the end on Judgment Day. 2 Timothy 4:8 shows us that his eyes were on the prize, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus will award him on that day. You know, Paul had to endure probably more than what any of us will probably have to go through in our life. Yet at the end of his life, as he's writing this letter in a prison cell, awaiting his execution, his eyes were still firmly fixed on the prize of finishing his race well, the reward of being with the one he loved, the reward of coming into his presence to be with him for eternity, the commendation, good and faithful servant, and the joy he would feel when he stands on Judgment Day. To Paul, the price was worth the sacrifice. I'd like to take this moment again to wish every father a happy Father's Day. Fathers, you are a very important part of the family, and though statistically it is proven that people spend way more on Mother's Day, your presence at home is still greatly appreciated. You know, this year is the second year since I've been a father, and if I can sum it up in five words, I would say, sleep deprived with no regrets. Sleep deprived with no regrets. If they zoom in a bit more, you can see my heavy eye bags. You know, it's been the most tiring but rewarding years of my life. And in some small way, you know, not compared to Paul, but in some small way, it has cost me a lot, right? Financially, delivery was expensive, bringing her to see the doctors for checkups are expensive, milk powder, diapers, wet wipes, nutritious food are very expensive. And then, of course, there's money that I spend spoiling her. Yes, it was costly financially. And physically also as well, you know, all sorts of muscle aches from carrying her long hours, lack of sleep, having to wake up in the middle of the night to pat her back to sleep. It cost me a lot physically as well. And emotionally, when she's sick, we worry for her. Recently, she just started LSK. She was struggling the first few days. We worry for her. Or if she's naughty, we get angry with her. Exhausting emotionally. Costly as well. But to me, it's all worth it at the end. Seeing her grow up well, happy and secure, receiving love from her, the hugs, the kisses, the I love you, makes all the sacrifices more than bearable. The price is worth the sacrifice for me. And because it's worthwhile for me, I do not waver in my duty as her father on days when it's tough. I do not say, oh, I don't want to be your father today because you are naughty. I persevere and press on because I know that the price is worth all my sacrifices. And likewise, in wanting to follow Jesus and live for him, there will be sacrifices to be made. Let us not be ignorant to that. It will cost you something. The Bible is very upfront that we will have to endure suffering, affliction. There will be things that we will have to give up for the sake of righteousness in our discipleship journey. But being a disciple is costly, but ultimately, the price at the end of your life is worth any sacrifice that you will have to take or undertake in this life. So let us not be focused on the temporal things, things that will fade away, but instead, keep our eyes fixed on the price, on that which is eternal. You know, it's foolish to give up an eternity with God for a temporal high. It is foolish to chase after things of this world that have no eternal value and forsake the things of God that do. But sometimes we are guilty of it when our eyes are not fixed on the prize. You know, Jim Elliot, the famous missionary who died a martyr's death at the end of his life, is quoted saying, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What beautiful words. And Jim Elliot has his eyes on the prize until the end. Now, I'd like to challenge everyone, myself included, with the words that we see in Hebrews 12. I challenge you and myself today to throw off the things that hinder us, to put off the sins in our life today, and let us run with perseverance this race that God has set out for us, keeping our eyes fixed on the prize, our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Trust Him when times are difficult, because for the joy set before Him, He first endured the cross for you and me. He scorned its shame, and now He's seated at the right hand of God. I like this part. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you and I will not grow weary and lose heart. Because He has first done it, we can as well. Consider Him, Jesus, who first gave Himself for you and me. You were a prize worth His sacrifice. So would you fix your eyes on Him today? Fix your eyes on the prize. May I, at this point, invite the worship team on stage to prepare a closing song as I conclude my message. Today, as we are in this season of pause, this pit stop in life, did you take some time to ask yourself the three questions? First question, am I aware that I am accountable for my actions on the day of judgment? Am I aware? Or have I been living my life wastefully over the last year? Well, if you have, it's not too late. Today, would you make the changes in your life? Choose to wake up differently and live consciously each day for God. Did you ask yourself the second question? Have I been faithful in doing what God has called me to do? Would you make it a point from today to be ready and equipped in and out of season to reach out and to preach the Word of God? To be ready to stand for what is true and endure affliction if necessary. To always be conscious to live, to fulfill your ministry that God has called you to do in your lifetime. And lastly, are your eyes fixed on the prize? Or are they looking to the left and to the right? Would you decide in your heart today to live with your eye on eternity? Decide what is important and what is not by weighing its eternal value. So how are you doing? You know, don't be like that driver who was in a hurry to carry on with life. Don't waste this pit stop that God has granted to you this day. Would you take this moment to think, do I need to make any changes in my life during this pit stop so that I can finish my race well? So today as a church, will you join me to make a decision together that we will run with our eyes fixed on the prize and to live each day consciously to fulfill what God has called us to do? Let us not let this pandemic get us down. Let us not let difficult seasons in life dishearten us. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the prize and run with perseverance together. Let us run together and finish our race well together. Amen. You know, as I prepared this message, it has been a reminder to myself as well as to what are the things that really do matter. You know, this COVID season has thrown all my routines out of order. And preparing this message has been very helpful for me to realign my life, to recalibrate my heart, and to set my eyes on the things that truly matter. I hope you do the same as well today. So now, as the worship team is going to lead us in one song, and as they begin to sing, will you take this moment to close your eyes? And in the quiet of your heart, choose to make a response to God today. Do not waste this pit stop in life. Would you make the necessary adjustments so that you too can finish your race well?
Thank you for listening. If you would like to purchase a copy of the audio sermon, please contact us at 6284-2000 or email to recept@lsbc.org.sg for more information.